The scripture reading this morning shall be from Matthew, the third chapter, and verses 1-3. Now, if I can get all the paper out of the way. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of most high than Moses, by just so much as the builder of a house has more honor than the house.
Just one other note. Immediately following services, if all of our veterans would mind coming down to the front, Susanna would like to update our picture of our veterans. And so if you will, immediately after services, if you'll come forward, Susanna will take that picture, and then we can fellowship with one another. There are few people in the Bible that has as long and as personal a relationship with God as Moses. God saved Moses from death at his birth. God allowed Pharaoh's daughter to raise him and educate him. And he also allowed Moses' parents to be the spiritual guides and the foundation for his life. God walked with Moses even when Moses was unaware of God. God introduced himself to Moses in a spectacular way through a burning bush. And it was at that time that God commissioned Moses to be the spiritual leader for the Hebrew nation, to lead them out from the bondage that they were in Egypt, and to take them to the promised land. And not long after their journey began did God take Moses up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and the instruction of the law. The law would be commonly known as the law of Moses, even though it was God's law. For 40 years, Moses led the people. He taught them. He gave them the spiritual foundation that they would need as they entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. But Moses would not cross that Jordan River. They would leave the body of Moses behind. But before his death, Moses shared with this to be great nation, a promise from God, something that they could hold on to and to look forward to. And we find those words in Deuteronomy chapter 18. In verses 15 through 19, if you'll turn there, please, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like me, unto him you will listen, according to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of assembling, saying, let me not hear the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I will not die. And the Lord said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Wow. A prophet like Moses, one that God's word would come from his mouth. A chosen one whom God would use to teach the people. And those who would not listen to this prophet would be cut off from being God's people. That would have to be an awesome person. But who is this prophet? Peter and John, in the book of Acts chapter 3, they healed a man who was lame. And this man was walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people around him were astonished. But Peter tells the account and the power that allowed this miracle to take place. He tells them in this chapter how Jesus was glorified by God and how they were guilty of killing him. But then he adds these words in Acts chapter 3 and verses 17 through 26. He said, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has also fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send to you Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For truly Moses said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear all things whatsoever he shall say to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God has made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed shall the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the prophet like Moses, to whom we are called to hear and obey as God spoke through him. Moses met Jesus. He met him in Matthew chapter 17 at Jesus' transfiguration, along with Isaiah. You can imagine what a thrill that was to have been for those two men. But Hebrews 3 opens with these words: "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ." We are challenged by this reader to consider Jesus Christ. The writer wanted the brethren who he had wrote this letter to, and by way of it being in the Bible to us also, wants us to know that Jesus was superior to angels and all spiritual beings. And now he makes it very clear that Jesus is greater than all human beings. The calling is to look close to Jesus, to see what it is that makes him greater than what many Jews would have called the greatest man in the Old Testament. What are some of the qualities of Christ that makes him superior to Moses? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. like Moses, Jesus was God's emissary, conveying God's truth to the people. Like Moses, Jesus intercedes for the people, filling an even greater role as our spiritual high priest. Here in this letter and chapter in Hebrews, Jesus is identified as an apostle, a high priest. Now, we don't typically use that term for Jesus Christ. We associate apostle with his 12 chosen men. The word apostle simply means one sent with authority. Jesus, he came from heaven to earth to be a messenger of God in human form. John simply begins his gospel in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Unlike Moses, Jesus was more than just an apostle or even a high priest. Jesus is the Son of a living God. Let's continue on in verses 3 and 4. "For as much, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he built his house and has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." I don't know if you've been to Washington, D.C. Many of us probably have. I always marvel the architecture, the great buildings that house our seat of government, those grand memorials that honor certain men in our nation. And I'm always impressed by that. But these buildings didn't just spring up on their own. Someone designed them and someone built them. And the truth of the matter is that the builder of the house is always greater than the house. Now, Moses is not the house of God, but was a great leader that represented a spiritual house. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, is God. Jesus is the builder of the spiritual house, and he is therefore greater than Moses. No man owns a church. There are some preachers that have egos beyond reason. Some churches are built on the charisma of the preacher. But if the preacher fails morally, or if he decides to leave, a lot of churches falter. But Jesus is greater than any preacher, Moses included. The second reason that Jesus is greater is that Moses was a willing servant, and Jesus was a divine son. You will look in verses 5 and 6. "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is the Son, as a son over his own house." Now, I'd like to stop there for just a moment, and hopefully you caught that. Moses was faithful in God's house. Jesus is faithful over God's house. We can never forget the power of Christ. The one sent by God is over everything. In the last part of verse 6, it makes a statement to us as readers of the book of Hebrews, whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Do you like to hear someone say something that I'm going to give you something, but then they end up saying a but or an if? I will pay you $50 to mow my yard if you show up and mow my yard. We are a part of the house. If we have confidence, we have the confidence, and we rejoice the hope, and remain that way to the very end. To the very end. Not the end of the world, but the end of our lives. Because once our life ends, there is no other recourse than what has already been sowed. Jesus stands before us with all of the power of the Godhead. We are God's house. We are the people of God. And we are called to keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Jesus Christ. Confidence and courage is that we as believers can approach God in this spiritual house. We no longer need some high priest that is a high priest till his life is over. We serve a high priest who did and never did die completely. He is our high priest today. And it is because of that high priest that we can go to God in prayer, directly to God the Father. And we send our prayers through His Son. We have the confidence to enter into the throne room of the Almighty God. And we do that through our prayers and our worship. I'll leave you with a question. And you can think on these things as the week goes along. I'm confident that many of you will answer it right. Is there anything greater than being a Christian? Is there anything greater than being a Christian? We are loved. We are chosen. We are claimed. We are cuddled by the Creator of this world. He holds us in His hands each and every day. And while we may in our own minds feel like we are all alone and battling this world by ourselves, that is never the case. For God Almighty is next to us each and every day. Our walk with God is the best gift that this life has to offer. And if you have never received that gift, I pray that you will think about these things today. pray that you will have a desire to find out how you can have the confidence and the hope that many in this auditorium have. To be claimed by God as His own. The way God chooses people is not the way some people believe. God chooses by those who read and believe what they have read and understood. And while we use the gospel so often, many lose sight exactly what that gospel is. We fulfill that gospel by our own death and burial and resurrection, not at the end of our lives, not at the end of the world, but today, when we make the choice of turning around our lives, repenting, by confessing, just as Peter did in Matthew 16 and verse 18, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being buried in this watery grave, and coming up out of that water resurrected into a new creature, a new being, a new man, a new woman, sinless before the eyes of God. And then maintaining that confidence and that hope for the rest of your life as long as you live, remaining faithful to Him, you will receive the gift that God offers to all mankind. If that is your desire this morning, I pray that you will make that decision this morning. If you have questions, I pray that you will ask those in this congregation to help find the answers. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe your confidence, maybe your courage, maybe your hope has waned in the past, and you want to renew that energy within you. You want to turn around and turn off of the path that you have gone down. Maybe you just need our prayers. Whatever your reason is this morning, whether it is to give your life to Christ and to God, or to ask for our prayers, we want to offer you this invitation as together we stand and we sing.